This morning we're in Proverbs chapter 17, verses 4 to 12 on Proverbs with directions on righteous living. Where Proverbs 10:1 to 15:33 contrasts wise, upright lives with foolish, wicked ones, Proverbs 16:1 to 22:16 focuses mainly on the upright life. And it guides us on how to live righteously in many realms of experience. Solomon hopes and believes that by now a person is convinced from what he's given before that a person wants to choose the right path versus the wrong path. And now the question is, okay, how do I live the righteous path? What is involved? And that's where he is in this particular direction of his Proverbs. So we view each proverb in this section to draw out its deeper insight that Proverbs 1, 5 to 6 implies exists. Proverbs 1, 5, and 6 indicates that even a wise man can still learn from these proverbs because they're very deep. And I've challenged people to do this. There's a proverb my wife and I have put on a refrigerator. It's been on there now 6 years. This is in the sixth year. And it still is a very helpful one and very directive. So I've encouraged people to do that. Just stick one up somewhere, you know, run it off of the printer on the computer or whatever. Put on the refrigerator door, just try it. Be amazed at the content that is there. Anyway, before we get into the Word of God, I'd like to stop for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and your Word and your truth, the indwelling Spirit of God who clarifies it all to us. We thank you for the opportunity of serving you and fellowshipping one with another around the Word of God this morning. We ask that as we get into the Word that we would understand it, that we go beyond just comprehending the truth, but having the wisdom to know how to apply it, and then the power, and relying on the power of God actually to apply for blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the verses in the King James Version, even though some of these we have to retranslate, and then we'll look at the passage. Proverbs 17, beginning at verse 4. A wicked doer gives heed to false lips, and a liar gives ear to a naughty tongue. We have to retranslate that one. Verse 5, whoso mocks the poor reproaches his creator, and he that is glad at calamity shall not go unpunished. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Excellent speech becomes not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince or a noble. A gift or a bribe is as a precious stone or as a charm in the eyes of him that has it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. A reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeks only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger or a cruel officer of the king will be sent against them. Let a female bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Okay, there's a lot that's going on here. Proverbs 17:4 teaches that he who acts wickedly gives attention to lips of false vanity, and a liar gives ear to a tongue or words of destruction. We need to be very selective of the parties that we heed. For heeding the words of those with false vanity leads us to act wickedly, and heeding destructive, malicious words leads us to lie. It's interesting, the scripture talks about watching the company that we keep as far as equals. Bad company corrupts good morals. That's actually a translation of one of the verses, I think, in Corinthians. But here you have to be discriminatory of the teachers that you hear. And you can discern bad teachers. Lips that give false vanity or emptiness, and then one who lies, and so forth, or speaks destructively. These are things to watch out for. So watch out for someone who isn't giving you content as a teacher. Watch out for someone who's speaking destructively or deceitfully or lying. Watch out for that and discriminate against it because it will affect you. You have to be careful what you expose yourself to. Then Proverbs 17:5 asserts that he who mocks the poor taunts or reproaches his maker, that or the creator,
He who causes to exult over distress or calamity of someone else will not be exempt himself from punishment. We must be careful not to gloat over those who suffer financial hardship or distress and calamity, for God created them. And God calls us to honor all people by virtue of the fact that they, both men and women, bear his image. It's interesting, 1 Peter 1:17 tells us to honor all men. And in Genesis 1:27, the Bible tells us that God created people in his image, and male and female created he them. So the word image has to be taken, obviously, in a figurative sense. And the image, the structure that God makes people physically, he makes them emotional beings, he makes them emotional, mental beings, spiritual beings, and so forth. So we have to be very, very careful when we see another person who may not be as advantaged as we are. They may not be as advantaged by financially. But we can apply this to someone who is not as talented. Maybe someone else just doesn't have a lick of talent anywhere. That doesn't mean we are allowed to look down on them at all. Or a person who may not be intelligent, or a person who may not be educated, or a person who may be immature. I was listening to my parents one time talk, and there was, even on the mission field, there was a tremendous sort of a class warfare between the missionaries who had a college degree and the missionaries who didn't have a college degree. The missionaries who didn't have a college degree felt that they were struggling constantly to be accepted or to be viewed as valuable, where those that had the college degrees, they were often teaching in the seminaries and whatnot. And this became a real strain. It was amazing. I found out about this years later. But we have to be very, very careful to respect all people. And I'm finding out that just because a person hasn't had a college degree doesn't mean he's unintelligent. In fact, there are lots of very, very bright people out there who haven't had advanced training or haven't had formal education, very, very intelligent and very gifted. So we have to be very, very careful about people. Always go out of our way to respect, especially children. Sometimes we have a tendency to look down our nose at a child. A child may be immature and so forth, but these children are a gift from the Lord, and they're still a work in progress. They have a long ways to go to be adults, but they're very impressionable. So the way we relate to a child affects him and affects what he's going to become. So I try to go out of my way as a pastor. If there's a little child who stops me and comes excited to me and they're all talking about something that's important, stop and pay attention, because that's important to that child. I'll never forget, I think it was last Sunday or the Sunday before that, little Elizabeth Slate came up to me. She was all bubbly and chattering, and I tried to figure what. I finally, after a while listening, I found out, she and the girls are out sleeping in the trailer because they're working on getting the bedroom ready for the girls. And she was all excited because now she's classed with the big girls. She's sleeping outside in the trailer. That was a big, big thing to Elizabeth. Well, it was important to her that I stop and listen to what she had to say. It's important to her, and it's important to our relationship. And that can eventually affect the rapport, so it will affect how I disciple her as well. So we have to be very, very careful to make sure that we're never mocking or looking down on any human being. Proverbs 17:6 claims that a crown of honor to the elderly is one's children's children or grandchildren, and the glory of children is their parents. Now, this is interesting. The glory of grandparents is their children's children, and the glory of children is their parents. This points to the middle generation, the generations that is between the grandparents and the grandchildren. That middle generation acts as a glue between the grandparents and the children. They're very important in that role. So if you find yourself in the role where you have children and you have parents over you, your relationship with both the parents and the children is very important for the stability of the entire extended family. Because it's those middle generations that hold the thing together, that hold the extended family together. So those in this role should take their role seriously, and the elderly and the children who glory in their grandchildren or parents respectively should be grateful to God for blessing them with these family members. Proverbs 17:7 teaches that it is not comely or suitable, it's the Hebrew word na'veh, for an impious, senseless fool to have lips of excess or arrogance. How much less lying speech to a noble? In other words, the higher we climb in the social ranks or positions of oversight, the greater our need to tell the precise truth in order to avoid shame. To be very, very careful. I was talking to a medical doctor this past week. He had directed me to go to a specialist, and went to the specialist, and the test came back. The figures were good and everything. And I reported how the specialist had reported to him what this particular test had meant. And the original doctor that I went to said, well, I wouldn't be nearly as optimistic as that doctor. That's a good sign. I mean, he's exposed to lots and lots of people who have bad situations. But he says, I'm much more cautious. And I would recommend that you continue with this particular area and that particular area so you can work on it. And I found that was really, really neat. This doctor works very, very hard at being very, very precise. Of course, he doesn't want to find himself in an awkward situation where he's given misinformation so that he gets sued if somebody ends up like getting something like cancer or whatnot. But it caused me to respect him a lot, the fact that he was very careful with the words that he used, the words that he would allow me to believe or to accept. Much more so, even in the specialist, because he was a person of integrity, and that speaks well of that person to me. And we need to do the same thing. Work hard at being accurate. I think a lot of times we say things not because we're intending to lie, we're just speaking, and if we go back and think about it, we think, wait a minute, that wasn't exactly right. You know, I could have said it a little more precisely if I'd backed up and done this or that. Well, we need to work at that, especially if we get into positions of oversight. Proverbs 17:8 asserts that a precious stone, which would be a charm, this is Eben Chen, is the bribe in the eyes of one who possesses it, who owns or possesses it, because wherever he turns, he succeeds. Now, one who influences others by gifts or bribes assumes that he's more effective than what he really is, so we should not trust much in his achievements. See, a person who feels that he can, he goes along with, you know, this, let's say $5,000 if you do this or that. Well, people are looking at the money and they say, sure, I'll accept it. But they may only have a half-hearted commitment to them because they want to make sure that they get a hold of the bribe. So bribes on the downside, on the good side, it might open doors immediately, but on the downside, those doors may not stay open very long. So if there is another person who influences others, and it could by false... could be by false bribes or it could be by bona fide gifts. We should not trust much in his achievements. This is also a warning to us about just giving gifts and patronizing people in order to get a response out of them. We have to be careful with that because we can elicit a false response or an artificial response. What we need to do, the best way to relate to another individual is relate to them without this issue of dangling a carrot in front of their eyes. Just relate to them on a personal basis so that we can actually see where the truth is. We have to keep that in mind. Proverbs 17:10 teaches that a rebuke, ge'ara, goes beneath or goes into tahat, a man of understanding, better than 100 lashes into one with a dull or closed mind, kasil. One's level of wisdom then is directly proportional to his responsiveness to correction, a rule by which we can measure ourselves and others that we encounter. If you're involved in teaching someone and you offer a very gentle correction, but it just goes like water off a duck's back, you know that the person has a ways to go in regards to wisdom. But if you do just happen to drop a hint and a person comes along and says, now, could you elaborate on that? I'm really interested in what you said there. And you go into it further, and then they make dramatic changes in their lives. That is a person who is marked by wisdom. That's also a way that we can evaluate ourselves. How ready am I to correct myself if I see valid correction that comes my way? And of course, not all correction that comes our way is valid. Some of it is. But how willing am I to adjust to that? The degree to which I'm willing to adjust is also a mark of the degree of my wisdom, my level of wisdom. So we need to keep that in mind. Proverbs 17:11 asserts that the seeking aim of practice of the wicked is only on rebellion. So a cruel, Akezari, this is only used of the word cruel, a cruel messenger or a royal official will be sent against him. We must avoid rebellion against proper authority if we would avoid its dire punishment. It's very, very true. The Bible calls us to honor all men. It calls us to obey every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now, there's a limit, obviously. We have to limit our obedience to the government if the government commands us directly to do that which is disobedient to the Lord, obviously. But we should not be seen, even though we might have differences with the government that exists, we should not be seen as people who are anti-government. We need to be seen as people who seek to be law-abiding. And that means abiding by the powers that be as much as lies within us. Otherwise, all we're doing is asking for trouble. And I'll never forget, I had a relative who got involved with a person who believed that since the Constitution of the United States talks about our money being based on the gold standard, since the government went off the gold standard, it's just paying us with Federal Reserve notes, that it's not real money, therefore you don't have to pay taxes with it since it's not real money. Well, when the government caught up with them, they almost ended up in jail. Because as far as the government's concerned, Federal Reserve notes is real money. And if you're going to get Federal Reserve notes and you're going to use Federal Reserve notes to pay your bills and buy food, then by definition it's money. So the government wants you to pay X numbers of Federal Reserve notes to pay the income tax. If you don't, you end up in jail. So regardless what the U.S. Constitution actually says or actually allows, we have to go along with the powers that be and the rulings that occur there. Sometimes there's a dramatic difference between what the U.S. Constitution might say and what the powers that be say, and that's where a Christian gets caught. But we still have to do that which presents a front to the world and to the rulers that be that show that we are upright. And so we have to go the extra mile. Remember the command by the Lord Jesus Christ where he says, if someone compels you to go 1 mile, go with them two. What he was referring to was a government edict. There was a ruling whereby if a Roman soldier met you on the road and you were going one way and he was going the other, he had the jurisdiction to command you to carry his load 1 mile the direction he wanted you to take it. And you had to go there. Otherwise, you were disobedient to the Roman government. You got into all sorts of trouble. And you could go east, west, north, wherever. It could go just the opposite direction that you came from. You had to stop, and your family had to stay there while you carried this load 1 mile the other way. And Jesus says, if the Roman soldier compels you to go 1 mile, go two. Go the extra mile in obeying the government. In other words, go overboard in obeying the government so that they don't have any cause to point at you as being somebody who's sinful or bad. And I think that's an amazing statement by our Savior. Okay, Proverbs 17:12 claims that it is better to meet a she-bear or a female bear that is robbed or bereaved of her cubs than a dull, closed-minded man in his folly. A lion is an animal who can kill you. A bear can kill you as well. But people who know and have been around bears and lions will tell you that there is nothing quite like an angry bear. A bear with a temper has an attitude, and a bear with an attitude will not only kill you, he will rip you to shreds in the process of killing you because he just has an attitude. That's the way bears are. They can be extremely mean. And a female bear if you've killed her cubs, she will go after you and it will be an awful death. There's no question about it. So what the author is saying is whatever you do, stay away from a person of a dull, closed mind who is in his folly because he's extremely dangerous in that situation. He will whip you into a frenzy as far as his folly is concerned and you can get into serious, serious trouble. So dull, closed-minded people in their follies, in whatever their efforts are that they're trying to promote, are so destructive. One is better to avoid them than even to avoid an infuriated female bear. Okay, may we align with God's fixed moral order in each of these realms for blessing. That's one reason why when some of these um, um, callers call me up, they're trying to sell something, and they're all excited about what they have to sell me, I just say, no, thank you, and I go ahead and hang up. I don't want to give them the door, because they get their foot in the door, and before you know it, they'll try to sell you on all sorts of weird things. And they get excited, especially if they're excited about what they have to offer, and it's something that I don't need. You know, I just don't need an onion planter or, you know, whatever they might want to sell. And sometimes they're trying to get me to change.